You're listening to KRFC Fort Collins. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Community at Work, a weekly program spotlighting the issues that affect our communities by providing a closer look at the agencies and nonprofit organizations that serve the public. I'm Julie Eslick, Communications Specialist for the Health District of Northern Larimer County. On this edition of Community at Work, I talk with Sam Borden, who is Prevention Services Manager with the Northern Colorado Health Network, also known as NOCO AIDS Project, or NCAP. Maria Jorgensen, also with NCAP, Prevention Services Coordinator, and Jess Fear, the Health District's Community Impact Team Liaison for the Naloxone Workgroup of the Mental Health and Substance Use Alliance. Tonight, we're discussing substance use in the region and how we can all help prevent overdose deaths as we look ahead to International Overdose Awareness Day on August 31st. Welcome, Sam, Jess, and Maria. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Julie.
And let's begin with the obvious. Sam, what is Northern Colorado Health Network?
So Northern Colorado Health Network is a regional office of Colorado Health Network, which is a statewide AIDS service organization. Basically, we provide services to those living with or affected by HIV and other conditions through prevention care and advocacy, which means we're providing case management services, behavioral health services, prevention services, and insurance access services as well.
And how many individuals does NCAP serve, on average, I guess, or monthly?
Broadly speaking, we do cover 8 counties of northeastern Colorado. So we do have a fairly large region. In terms of those currently enrolled in our programs, we have well over 1,000 in our syringe access programs. We see well over 1,000 people for HIV and Hep C testing per year. Our case management folks see about 400 people for consistent case management services, those living with HIV and affected by. And for PrEP, which is a pre-exposure prophylaxis that helps prevent HIV, we're having 38 clients generally retained in case management services as well. And as I mentioned, we do have behavioral health and insurance navigation services that see a number of clients from all of those services.
And so you may have folks that come in and you're able to help them, but also connect them to services in the community for mental health or behavioral health or addiction or things like that.
Absolutely. We do make a lot of referrals, and we try to be very collaborative with our community partners in addressing the needs of our clients.
Okay, great. And what else does NCAP focus on?
So in terms of our conversation today, we are big proponents of prevention. We really believe that it's important to give people the education and resources that they need in order to have healthy lives. We also believe in comprehensive care after the point of diagnoses or when health issues do exist. And so with the work that we do on the prevention side, we are frequently educating our clients and making sure that they have the tools they need to stay safe regardless of what the circumstances of their life might be. And so that may not look like total abstinence. They may not look like anything that may necessarily be approved 100% by a CDC official, but we're trying to make sure that our work is very applicable to their current needs and the abilities that they have to maintain their goals for their health.
What are prevention services that are so you mentioned some of your prevention services and sort of the importance of that. And Maria, you all are also collaborating with many local agencies to host an event for International Overdose Awareness Day on August 31st in Civic Center Park. Can you tell me about that event?
Yeah, so the purpose of that event is to demonstrate the support and resources available in our community for the communities that are most heavily impacted by substance use. We're finding that that community is growing pretty drastically in Larimer County and statewide and nationally. And so that event has resources from all over Larimer County and surrounding counties to make sure we're impacting everyone at that space. In addition to having resources available, we're doing a candlelight vigil and a memorial art space. There'll be a kid-friendly area and music and speakers, all just there to really show support for this community.
And so this is really geared towards everybody to attend the event and get information and show support.
Yeah, absolutely. And the resources that are available, the individuals who have been contacted to represent at that event and table at that event are all providing substance use resources specifically or support services for people experiencing substance use.
And so, Jess, can you talk about the importance of the collaboration between some of these multiple agencies on an event like the Overdose Awareness Day?
Certainly. So it's really important to get all the players from, you know, the emergency departments to police to behavioral health organizations to support organizations and substance use providers so that we can all come together for this collective impact model and ensure that this event reaches the attended population of all the community members and, you know, specifically people who are currently experiencing substance use disorder that may not know about access to things like needle exchange or naloxone, which can save lives. And so we really just want to make sure that we include everyone that would need to be there so that we reach the greatest amount of people in need.
And if folks want more information on the activities and where to go and the times, where should they go to look for that?
They can go to the Facebook event that's created. And they can also go to ncaids.org as well.
Okay. And Jess, you talked a little bit about naloxone. Can you tell me some more about naloxone and the importance of everyone in the community carrying it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason that I'm on this Overdose Awareness Day planning is that because I'm a part of the Naloxone Champions work group. So the Mental Health and Substance Use Alliance of Larimer County said that access to naloxone, which is a life-saving opiate overdose reversal medication, was extremely important to them. And so what we did was we really looked at what others in the state were doing, and we looked at the Colorado Consortium for Prescription Drug Abuse, and they really said we needed to focus on seven areas to make sure there was access to naloxone. So making sure that pharmacies have access, making sure that doctors have different prescribing practices when they're prescribing opioids, making sure that the emergency departments, making sure that all first responders have access, of course, to naloxone, and making sure that behavioral health organizations have access. And so basically, the Naloxone Champions really just work through the seven of those different priority areas and make sure that that's all covered in Larimer County. And so the way that Overdose Awareness Day is tied into that is that we really want a way to get to community members. We want a way to say, hey, naloxone's important, you know, whether you are an older adult population that's being prescribed an opiate from your doctor and, you know, you may forget to take it, your pill, and you take an extra one. We want you to have naloxone around, or whether, you know, you may drop a medication on the ground and the dog or the kid might get a hold of it. And having, you know, we want it to be kind of like a fire extinguisher. You might not need it, but when you have it or when you do need it, it's there. And so this event just really falls right in line with all of the work of the Naloxone Champions. And we really just want to focus on making sure we're educating individuals who are currently using either prescription or street opiates about naloxone and about the resources in the community, not only for treatment, but for prevention as well.
And I know you did a training at the health district as well for some of the employees there that I was at. And I know that, you know, even either folks who might have a family member or friend or someone that you know that might be using or might, you know, potentially, you know, run into problems to have naloxone with you, or even, you know, we were in Boston walking around and, you know, you see people on the streets, you're not sure what's going on, but, you know, if that was a situation that you might be able to help out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, naloxone luckily is pretty easy to use and administer. We can usually train individuals in anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour, depending on how in-depth we want to go. But you're absolutely right. Having access to naloxone for everyone is extremely important, and you never know when you're going to need it, whether you might need it in your home situation or you might need it, you know, working out in the community of Fort Collins or Loveland or Estes Park. So I even heard that Rocky Mountain National Park had an overdose last year, so you wouldn't think of that. But if, you know, we're making sure that everyone in Estes has access to naloxone, we could potentially have a life saved up there.
And Maria, can you talk a little bit about naloxone and NCAP and how you work with your clients there on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So at NCAP, we started distributing intramuscular naloxone back in February of 2017. And our clients that we've done trainings with who brought home kits distributed from NCAP have actually reported over 100 saves since that time. And so that's a successful opiate overdose reversal with that medication. And so I think that really demonstrates the impact of how effective naloxone and Narcan are in opiate overdoses and how just getting the medication in the hands of the people who need it is really vital in our community.
And one question that I was just thinking of is, so if someone has, obviously addiction is a very complicated situation, so somebody may have more than one overdose, so they have an overdose and they receive naloxone, does it ever, like, lose its potency? So if somebody has used naloxone on me and I'm experiencing another overdose, or we think I might be overdosing, can you use it again later on? Obviously a different, amount of naloxone, but can you be saved more than once?
Absolutely. Yeah. So in any opiate overdose, what's happening is the receptor in your brain is being blocked by that opiate. And so how naloxone and Narcan work is by bumping that opiate off of the receptor. And so that'll work every time.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to KRFC Fort Collins, and this is Community at Work. I'm your host, Julie Eslick, Communications Specialist for the Health District of Northern Larimer County. Tonight we're talking with Sam Bourdon and Maria Jorgensen from the Northern Colorado Health Network and Jess Fear of the Health District about International Overdose Awareness Day at the end of August and the importance of naloxone and Narcan. Jess, as a liaison from the Health District's Community Impact Team, what's your role in the work of International Overdose Awareness Day and the Naloxone Champions?
Well, my role is really towards that collective impact I was talking about earlier. So when we have our monthly Naloxone Champions meeting, we want to make sure that everyone's at the table. So if we're missing any sectors, or, if the representative from a certain organization got too, perhaps busy and couldn't make it, I would then reach out to that sector and make sure that we're really reaching everyone that we need to. And with the Overdose Awareness Day, it's the same thing, just making sure that, I think that it was Sam who first mentioned, what do we want to do for Overdose Awareness Day? And he said, let's make it big. Let's make it so that we know what's happening. And so that's my goal. That's the vision I'm carrying out. We're going to make it as big as we can, try to do it in the style of a lot of different Fort Collins events and have food trucks and music and speakers, and so that we are really bringing people to the event like they would come to, something like New West Fest.
Yeah, because this will be, just looking at the little poster flyers that you have, it'll be at Civic Center Park from 2 to 8. So obviously there'll be, food trucks and music and things happening, and also plenty of time to check out their resource booths. And then the Candlelight Vigil, obviously, I guess, would be as it gets dark.
Yeah.
And kind of remember some of those,
that have
been impacted here.
Exactly. And so we're going to be doing opioid overdose prevention training, so naloxone trainings at the event. We're going to be distributing some naloxone, what we have access to. We have speakers who are currently in recovery, people playing music who are currently in recovery. We have Cindy Dodds from Summit Stone Health Partners coming to speak. We have some representatives from Fire Mountain, the youth treatment center, coming to speak. And I think even the director of communication over at the Office of Behavioral Health is going to come and talk. And so we really want to focus on the efforts going on in the community. We want to make sure that people know that treatment works and recovery is possible. And if, you just need safe access to needles, we want you to have all the resources that you have to get there. So.
And what are some of the main service gaps in our community for those with a substance use disorder?
Absolutely. So treating individuals with substance use disorders is extremely complicated. And, I really like to compare it to another medical disease in which you would enter the hospital and get diagnosed with the disease, and then you would be connected to all these different levels of care, whether, it was cancer and you needed radiation, chemo, and behavioral therapies. You would get wraparound services for that. And that's really lacking here in Larimer County for substance use disorders. There's not a standardized way of treating substance use disorders because it is so individualized, but there are a lot of evidence-based practices that work really well as medication-assisted treatment. And so, there's really kind of a gap in things like long-term residential treatment that's paid for by insurance and things like that. So what our goal at the Health District is really to look at what gaps there are and let the community know what's there.
And how many people are we talking about in Larimer County that are struggling with substance use disorders?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of people, in Larimer County think that, we certainly couldn't be having these issues here. That's not possible. Larimer County is too beautiful and amazing, which, part of is true, the beautiful and amazing part. But the part that's not true is that we actually have about 26,000 individuals here in Larimer County that are currently experiencing a substance use disorder, and only about 2,300 or 1 in 10 are currently getting treatment. And so we wanted, you know, make sure that we're using, you know, events and work groups to show that treatment works and recovery is possible. And while Larimer County is missing some of the parts of the continuum of care, that we do offer a lot of good services here.
Sam, do social attitudes and the stigma of the substance use disorder play a role in people accessing treatment or coming to places like NCAP?
Absolutely. You know, you have seen a narrative and a kind of a value system for ages around substance use, whether recreational, whether part of a substance use disorder, that really moralizes it. And dehumanizes people who are experiencing a substance use disorder. And so oftentimes, if you are in the grips of an addiction, you are being forced into isolation. Mm-hmm. And you have probably had some negative, if not horrific, experiences with mental health and health providers because that stigma is strong. And we know that, you know, health providers and mental health providers and people like us providing, you know, human services are often, you know, we see a lot of this happening all the time and it can burn us out. There is that secondary trauma. But we need to be a little bit more cognizant of how that affects the people in our care, whether or not we're able to give equitable and comprehensive care to these people because they do have a disease. They have an illness just like any other illness that might need to be treated. And so when we have people walk through our doors, a lot of times it takes them a long time to get there. They don't necessarily trust us, and I understand absolutely why. They think it might be too good to be true, to be able to sit down with someone and talk about their substance use in a non-conditional way. So, you know, we're not there to force our agenda on anyone. Our job is to keep them safe because we know if you die, you don't get to recover. And so we need to be there for someone on every single step of that spectrum of use, whether they're ready, whether they're looking for treatment, whether they're still processing what that might look like. And so overdose prevention is just another part of that. And the work that we've done with the Naloxone Champions, the work that we do as an organization is a lot about trying to get folks reengaged into services, trying to get them reengaged with mental health services and healthcare services and really make them feel like not only are they welcome and they're part of our community, but they can be strong advocates and they can be life-saving when it comes to, you know, helping their friends stay safe or saving someone from an overdose.
Yeah, exactly. I had learned a lot myself listening to Dr. Corey Waller's presentation in May on rethinking addiction. He was here in Fort Collins, and he was explaining about the neurobiology of addiction and how the cravings not only really impact your body, but also how your brain changes, you know, to where you just really have to have that drug and more of that drug, not to feel great, but just to be able to function and even get out of bed and even, you know, consider doing anything else or taking any steps. And he, I know, also presented to some local organizations and treatment and service providers. Did you take anything away from that, Jess? I know you were pretty involved with even bringing Dr. Waller here, so I'm sure you had a lot to think about.
Absolutely. So before my time at the health district, I had the privilege of working with dually diagnosed populations and the role of a mental health and substance use disorder therapist in Denver for a long time. And, you know, really what he was able to say very succinctly, what I was trying to teach, you know, my clients and the staff that I supervised for a really long time is that, you know, when you think of dopamine and what dopamine does is it rewards you for doing basic human functions. So you eat, it feels great. You know, you get a little sugar, that feels even better. Get some water, that feels great. And so what he really described in terms of the cravings that you were talking about is if you were to take water away from someone and then present it, you know, in front of them and, you know, run a stream or river, they would have the craving about the size of a baseball. And then if you were to do the same with food, they would have cravings about the size of a basketball. Now, when they did the same study with cravings for people who had been abstinent from a drug, that turned into the current brain activity the size of, like, a baseball field. And so, you know, really realizing some of the brain science behind the behavior helps us to work with current providers who may be experiencing something like burnout from working with this difficult population. But, you know, one thing we really learned is that we need to recognize that treatment works, and that when we combine medication-assisted treatment with behavioral therapies, we see a lot of successes, and that, you know, sometimes that it takes time for these changes to take effect, and that, you know, when you think about behavioral therapies and changes like that, you have to realize it's a process and it's not always going to happen overnight, though some people can be successful. So that, you know, brings me back to the individualized treatment needs.
Sure. Yeah. Right. And just like with anything mm-hmm. else, people may slip and then come back and improve. And yeah.
Yeah. We see the same relapse rates for things like hypertension and diabetes. And one other thing that I want to mention in regards to Dr. Waller is he really talks about this ecosystem of treatment. So much the way that cancer or heart disease or any of those major diseases are treated, we'd really like to see the same thing happening for substance use disorder.
Yeah. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to KRFC Fort Collins, and this is Community at Work. I'm your host, Julie Eslick, Communication Specialist for the Health District of Northern Larimer County. Tonight, we're talking with Sam Verdun, Maria Jorgensen, and Jess Fear about Northern Colorado Health Network, International Overdose Awareness Day, which is coming up, and the importance of naloxone and Narcan. So, ladies, let's turn to some of the successes. What are the goals or improvements that have been achieved to date in addressing substance use disorders and overdose in our community?
Well, we've been able to really get some naloxone and some Narcan onto the community. So thanks to the NCAP over there, they continuously have access to clients who, you know, are currently needing naloxone, who are currently using opiates and able to save lives. What did you guys say, 100 and?
Well over 100.
Well over 100 saves. Yeah. That's amazing. And so, you know, the naloxone work group really is just trying to get the word out there and to make sure that people know about naloxone. But the health district is also working on a lot of other, you know, pretty fantastic projects in regards to destigmatizing substance use disorder and making sure people understand the chronic brain disease piece of that. And if people want to talk more about that, I could talk for a whole nother radio show. So perhaps you'll provide my email at the end for them to contact me.
Are there plans to continue some of these similar efforts after the August 31st event?
Yeah. So in addition to all the trainings we're going to be doing at Overdose Awareness Day, we wanted to make sure that we were still pushing the bulletin with how quickly we're distributing naloxone and Narcan to the community. So we are scheduling a bunch of community-based trainings that are open to anyone in the public. At those, we're going to make sure that everyone knows how to respond to an overdose and use naloxone and Narcan appropriately, and also how to just communicate with emergency medical services and aftercare for that person.
And how do we make some of these solutions that we've talked about sustainable, do you say?
So I think the fundamental part of that is making sure that you have the people most affected at the table. Yeah. When you go into any community for any sort of aid, you want to make sure that when you leave, you've been culturally competent enough and you've done things that fit the actual needs of the community so that they can sustain that moving forward. And so harm reduction and addiction treatment and all of these different areas have a pretty large grassroots base with people who have experienced addiction, with people who are in recovery. And they are constantly standing up to try and make services more accessible and more comprehensive. And so we really are trying to take that mindset going in, that we need the feedback of our community. We need the feedback of those providing services in the community. We need to make sure that everyone that's going to be affected by the provision of these services, by these trainings, by the accessibility of naloxone is going to it's going to fit what they need for their town, and that they can feel comfortable being an advocate and they can feel comfortable saving a life, because that's essentially what we're advocating for. And, you know, we've seen the narrative of the opioid epidemic coming around, and in some respects that's been really helpful in terms of having these conversations more widely. However, it has brought up a consistent issue of, you know, who deserves care, who deserves sympathy, and who deserves to be saved. And really, this is a community issue. Every single person that we serve, every single person that we work with is part of that community. And we really want to use this event and use these trainings and use these services to bring people out of those shadows and really collectively make this a grassroots, sustainable effort towards reducing these deaths, these needless deaths in our community.
And for the trainings that aren't happening at the Overdose Awareness Day, are those happening at NCAP, or where should people go? If they're not happening there, where might people go for more information?
Absolutely. So we're having a training in Estes Park in addition to two trainings in Loveland, and then we're going to be scheduling two in Fort Collins. Locations are still to be determined on that, but there will be information available at the event itself.
Okay, gotcha.
In addition to, we'll post it online as soon as we have it all solidified.
Okay. And those will be community ones anybody can attend and everybody can attend and, yeah.
Yep, those will all be open to the community, and those trainings will be about an hour in length.
Okay. And complimentary,
yep.
Shall we say?
Completely free.
And that brings us to funding, Jess. Where's the funding for Narcan, or do we want to talk a little bit about funding for Narcan and insurance payment for all types of SUDs? I know you've mentioned that before.
But. Yeah, absolutely. So luckily for most individuals with insurance, you can get naloxone with your insurance or Narcan. You don't have to have a prescription. You can walk right into your pharmacy and ask for it, and they can give it to you with an insurance copay. And that part of the Naloxone Champions work group was actually contacting all of the pharmacies. And so if you get on a website, Stop the Clock Colorado, you will be able to see any pharmacy here in Larimer County that is carrying naloxone. The problem is that a lot of people don't often take the step to actually go to the pharmacy after they perhaps have been prescribed naloxone or are currently using in a different capacity. And so we want to figure out how to increase funding for community agencies like NCAP and increase long-term longevity for access to naloxone to community members. The health district has been privileged enough to have some flexible funding to purchase some naloxone for the community, and we've given out, I believe, 60 kits at this point, and we have another 60 to 70 to give out at Overdose Awareness Day. So that's kind of what's going on with that. And regards to insurance payment for all types of SUD treatment, Colorado did just pass the law to make residential treatment covered by Medicaid, which would be just fabulous. And so they're working on the, things about that I don't quite understand. But
yeah.
Basically, we want all substance use treatment to be paid for by any insurance. So whether you need long-term residential treatment, whether you need intensive outpatient, individual, group, anything you could possibly need and support, we would love for that to be covered by all insurances.
And are there any other organizations involved that we should mention before we wrap up?
Well, we're working with a lot of organizations. Larimer Court Support has been a huge advocate for this project. They're a very grassroots organization focusing on helping people currently in treatment court. We've got UC Health. We've been working with Fort Collins PD, Chief of Evans Police. We've been working with the University of Northern Colorado. And so if you want information about our Naloxone Champions work group, you can contact any of the three of us, and we would be happy. We have a whole list of like 15 to 20 organizations, I think, at this point that are collaborating.
Great. Well, that's all the time we have for this evening. If you want to learn more about the Northern Colorado Health Network or International Overdose Awareness Day activities, you can contact Samantha at samantha.borden, and I'll spell that. So it's samantha.borden at coloradohealthnetwork.org, or call 970-632-2046. For more information on the Naloxone Champions, you can contact Jess at jfear@healthdistrict.org, or call 970-224-5209. And thank you to Sam and Maria and Jess for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Community at Work. Critter Powder is up next here on KRFC 88.9 FM, where we entertain, inspire, and inform Northern Colorado's community radio. Have a great night.